everybody, it's Monty. I just wanted to do a quick intro for Roger. You're about to hear an amazing conversation with Roger and a gentleman we consider a father figure, mentor, godfather, mastermind, wise counsel, who has been in our lives well over 20 years. And with the opportunity to have, you know, one of these conversations, I know we haven't been as consistent as getting recordings out, because these damn kids don't go to bed since we've been in quarantine, and staying up all night just isn't an option anymore since it's nonstop on the go all the time in the house. But Roger was able to carve out some time to have a conversation, and we wanted to bring it to you before the new year was out. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this convo, and have a happy new year.
Here he is.
Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Come on, man.
I'm on.
Welcome to After the Kids Go to Bed, the Father's Edition, man. Hi, and you are my father.
Come on, man. Proud to be that.
Mr. Allen, I'm here with Mr. Allen, who is a composer, musician, educator, motivational everything. And that's his night job, but in the daytime he is the manager of the SAPIS, the Substance Abuse Intervention and Prevention Specialist, in from the Bronx Division, District 11. And first of all, thank you for coming on the show.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you for asking me.
And Mr. Allen, while you're playing on the grand piano in the background, thank you for the musical interludes. I want to invite you on to talk about your thoughts on the pandemic. What has it taught you, and what has it changed in terms of like education, innovation, and just creating, and just innovation, creation, and what things we could do different as men, you know, parents, all of the above.
I think that's a great question, Roger. And let me see if I can answer it. The global pandemic showed that, number one, it's global. And what happens here happens everywhere. There is a statement that says, everywhere you go, there you are. It had nothing to do with status. It had nothing to do with ethnic background. It had nothing to do with your educational level, your title, or your status. It had to do with you were in the midst of an invisible enemy. And some of the things that I think I've learned is two things. If we're going to talk about it, let's make it simple. If Sesame Street was on, Sesame Street always started and ended with, this is being brought to you by the letter and the number. So today, in reference to the pandemic, let's talk about, this is being brought to you by the letter R. The letter R can stand for many things. The letter R stood for rest. The letter R can also stand for reflect. But what means the closest to me is that the letter R also stood for reset. Because a lot of people had to reset. A lot of people found out that they think they could not do without certain things. Corporations found out they didn't need 50,000 square feet. They only need 5,000 square feet. People found out that I need to see these people each and every day. Well, sometimes forces that are greater than ourselves, because I know I'm part of something greater than myself, are sitting you down to look at, to reevaluate. That's another R word, to reevaluate and reimagine what your life has been during this COVID pandemic. Wow. We're looking at parents have to actually raise their children.
wait, hold on a second, Ms. Allen. Before you continue, clarify what the Sappists do within a school building, and then we're going to continue with the R's, because that's the key point I want everybody to understand.
Okay, I'm going to take the liberty to go backwards. Let's talk about the last part, and then we can talk about a role of a prevention specialist. So there's something that says, we've been talking about this for so long, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm. And we've been saying that to the point where we think that colloquialism is hot. Well, there's another email that just came down that said that this is the email from the village, and the village is asking you, when are you going to pick your kid back up? from having all of us raise your child, because we don't mind aiding you in the growth of your children, but in the process of aiding you, I don't have to enable your child and you at the same time. And sometimes that becomes the flaw, is that in the process of me helping you get a foot, because in the words of Dr. Jamal Bowman, we lift as we climb, you know, and as we use in the union, we aggressively move forward. But in the midst of the pandemic, some people got struck and anesthetized by their own situation. So that's why I'm saying, in reference to the children, we actually have to raise our children. Roger, how many parents now have a different outlook of their child and what their child does during the day. Now, let's look at that in reference to what a substance abuse prevention and intervention specialist does. First of all, that is only in New York City. In New York State and around the country, there are prevention specialists. Only in New York City is there a group of individuals, hardworking, very well-deserved, well-versed individuals, on which you were one, that have myriads of parents. Now, what Sappists do is that they present an evidence-based curriculum. They also do group and individual counseling, but what you and I love is that we also provide a path and a venue for positive alternatives. So we believe that if I show you what to do, then it will keep you away for a moment of what not to do. So we go purposely into your gifting. And when we get you to see your gifting, after a while, you're going to see that there's more life in front of you. And in order to prepare for the life in front of you, you need to be present in your presence so that you can create the future. And that's what our number one thing is. We lift as we climb. And the other thing that I've shared with you forever is that we don't care who it is, we care that it is. There is a message for every different type of student. There is a different type of individual. I'm going to talk about you and your experience you had at a Bronx high school, where you were the only type of person that could speak to that certain group of individual students. They wouldn't have heard it from anyone else. So the reason why we're excited about that is getting the message across. Do not personalize them not hearing you. You may not necessarily be the conduit for it to go through, but just understand we're part of something greater than ourselves. Get the point across. You talked about the pandemic. The one thing the pandemic made you realize is that you don't need everybody you thought you needed. You don't need everything you thought you needed. And you might have too much of what you already have, and you might have to strip down so you can move faster, because those things have weighted you down psychologically, spiritually, and relational driven. Things that have put weights on you, so you had to learn to give up some stuff so you can get back in the race instead of be hindered by your past.
Yeah. This is the insight that I used to get and still get on a daily basis, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to share, Mr. Allen, a little bit about you got up in one of our meetings. I think it was either before the summer session hit, or and you talked about be the resource. Can you share a little bit about that message in detail you like and what that meant?
When we're talking about being the resource, we're being the person, the go-to person. And one thing that we also mentioned, Roger, remember we said, make yourself indispensable. Mm. Make yourself where if you're not there, it doesn't go as smoothly, not on purpose, but they need that extra adobo, that extra sazon, that extra lemon and pepper, that extra sauce, which you bring out of your gifting to make everything happen. When you are the resource, you don't have to worry about a seat at the table because they can't start the meeting without you. Mm. When you become the resource, you set the course. When you become the resource, the budget doesn't set your price. Your talent sets your price because you are the resource.
Wow.
And that's a different way of looking at it, is that you have to look at it whether you're self-employed or whether you work with a corporation. The one thing we want you to remember as being the resource is that I work with you. I do not work for you. And that's because I work with you, I bring a certain skill sets. The reason why people love Liam Neeson in Taken is because his famous phrase was, I come with a very unique skill set. Each and every one of us should be able to say, I come with a very unique skill set. I understand that it's worthy of your organization and it's needed for your organization to have my resource. And because I have taken time and experience, I have studied this, I am well versed in that, I am a resource worth having. So my talent sets the budget, not your budget sets my talent.
Mm, that's good stuff. I remember a time I was getting ready. I was working in the school in the Bronx, and the class was getting the change, and over the loudspeaker, I think it was either the principal or the secretary was like, Miss Moni, you have two gentlemen here waiting to see you. So when I go downstairs, before I get downstairs or come upstairs, my students was like, yo, Mr. M, I think you in trouble. I said, what are you talking about? What, I think I'm in trouble. Yo, there were two guys out there in suits and they looking for you, man. I said, would you stop? That's my supervisor, man. I said, oh, we want to make sure you okay. So
true story.
That's a real true story. And the reason why I brought up that story is because, Kevin, you worked with somebody in the form of Mr. Zach Rohaman. Talk about the leadership qualities of Zach Rohaman and what he meant to the organization for the Sabbath during that his period in his tenure when he was with us before he decided to step off the scene and retire and win Hawaiian shirts.
Well, first of all, it would take a whole episode just to talk about him, but I will be as brief as possible. What made him very interesting is that there are directors of the Substance Abuse Prevention and Intervention Specialist Program in all five boroughs. He was the only man of color to be a director of a program, and he was the director of the largest program, which is in the Bronx. What also made him unique is that he was not only a man of color, but he was a man from Guyana. So he represented the Asian community. He represented the Caribbean organization, the Caribbean culture. So that, along with that, well-educated, double masters, a professor at Mercy College, and what he brought was enough common sense to designate people in their proper positions. Roger, he knew that your skill set was networking and outreaching, so he let you go and become the resource and the outlet person. He knew that my gift was organization and personal structure. And I was the person that was the fixer. So let me walk in my mindset. What made Zach Roman so important, he saw the best in each person and he wanted them to develop it to their fullest. A question that Zach and I would ask in an interview, and Roger, you remember that,
mm-hmm.
is we asked him, what is your 2 to 5 year plan? We asked everybody, what is your 2 to 5 year plan? And what we expected you to say is that I want to further develop myself. What I did not want to hear is that you want to be here for the rest of your life, because once you've unplugged, it's over. But I want you to look at it as a professional athlete. A professional athlete signs a contract for the first year and they're dynamic. They become dynamic again during the last year of that contract because they want to sign up again. Mm-hmm. Either with the same team or they want to go to another team. So I wanted to get the best out of you so we can teach you all that we can do so that you can spread that knowledge, whether you're with us or you're in whatever endeavor God has led you to. That mm-hmm. was our philosophy. That's what made Zakadali Rohaman the man that he is. And that's what made Dr. Jamal Bowman the man that he is, and now the man that the United States government, District 16 in New York, will see coming this year and next year. They both had vision. They were excellent in choosing staff. They were excellent in seeing promise, and they are excellent in seeing purpose. So if you be the leader of any, look at the promise and look at the purpose in people. So when you get the promise and the purpose, the problem doesn't matter.
That's good stuff, Mr. L. That's good stuff. Talk about your, now you had opportunity, now that you mentioned Dr. Jamal Bowman, you had opportunity to see him, the evolution of CASA Middle School, the school that he founded and created. Talk about that experience and what that was like.
The best way to explain that is something you experienced with Dr. Bowman and I during one of our open opportunities for visitors to come in that we call Career Insights. Now, most schools have career days, but I wanted to call it Career Insights because a day is 24 hours, but an insight can last you a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we turned it. So Roger, you had a chance to experience a typical moment between Dr. Bowman and myself when you were on the elevator. Now, when you got on the elevator,
it was like Captain America when he was in the elevator.
It was a different kind of elevator, but it was suit up. In reference to the Avengers, you did have to suit up because the conversation we had from the first floor to the fourth floor actually constructed what you were going to do for the first hour that you didn't even know you were going to do. You had a whole different plan. And when you hit the fourth floor and that door opened, you went solidly into what you were going to do. I had a whole nother plan and Dr. Bowman had another plan. And the reason why I use that, because number one, it's true. And number two, that's what happened in the evolution of Cornerstone Academy for Social Action Middle School. It is part of the Rosa Parks campus. There's also a Cornerstone Elementary School, but Dr. Bowman is the founder of the Cornerstone Middle School. And for the last 10 years, he was the CEO of Dreams. He was also the CEO of Compassion, and he was also the CEO of Innovation, because you asked me about innovation during the COVID-19 epidemic. We were light years ahead of innovation because we actually saw a promise in students. Now, why would you think a Title I school that's across the street from several hotels of ill repute with prostitutes meeting us as we sending the children in? Title I children food desert significantly large project right next to the school. But yeah. from that, not in spite of that, but because of what we said to them, now we have 4 to 10 students, 4-year scholarships to the top 10 colleges of the United States. Who would have thought that would come out of the Bronx? Who would have thought that would have came out the Bronx if you didn't plant the seed of achievement, if you didn't plant the seed of success, if you didn't plant the seed of hope into a student? Roger, you do the same thing. You speak to so many people. This podcast speaks to so many people. I don't know who's listening to me tonight. I don't know who's listening to me next week. I don't know who's listening to me a decade later, but it's what you say. And when the seed is germinated, it will grow if it's in fertile soil. We took that opportunity to plant as many seeds as possible into as many students. You talk about innovation. You were part of the 10 to 15 businesses that we started through our school. Who ever heard of a public school starting 10 to 15 entrepreneurs in the Bronx? Who does that? Who does that? We did that. How many schools have you ever heard of that we got visitors from 10 different countries, not 10 different cities, 10 different countries? Mm. How many schools do that? How many schools bring in choreographers? How many schools bring in documentarians, journalists to teach the children how to write? How many schools build a $50,000 recording studio for middle school students? State-of-the-art equipment. How many schools have a person like B. Brown come in that's internationally known, come in and donate equipment to us and say, what more can I do? How many schools have Google come in and say, how can we co-sign with you? How can we help you pay it forward? So I'm excited about that. Did come through us because we sat on our hands. 10 years ago, Dr. Jamal Bowman and I had a conversation, and we asked this one question that you should ask yourself each and every day. What does 21st century education look like? And each year we unraveled another piece. It should be whole child. It should be Montessori driven. It should be majoring in the arts. When we created an opt-out movement, we didn't want you to opt out because you couldn't handle the test. We wanted you to opt out because the test did not test everything about you. There's a difference. We were on top of that movement. Dr. Jamal Bowman has an organization in Long Island that's 250,000 parents that were right step with his philosophy that it didn't test just reading, writing, and arithmetic. What about the social science? How about how a child responds to society? Roger, I've always said this to you. We do not need to raise a group of educated derelicts.
Yep, you did say that.
I'm tired of 3.5 on the scale of 1 to 4 students, but they can't speak to anyone. They can't conduct themselves. They're cursing everybody out, but they get a pass because they're so brilliant. But they're so brilliant and they're misbehaving at the same time. So how long will they be able to work with society or create their own entity? As I always say to you, those super creative people with no socialization skills, either they have to build a board of directors around them like Mark Zuckerberg did, like the founders of Google did, because they had to go get an adult. They said, we need an adult. We had to go get Smith, you know, from Intel, because this was our doctorate in Stanford. We wrote this thing called Google. We don't know what to do. We're just research and development, but we don't know how to bring it to fruition. So what I'm saying to you, Roger, and what we're talking about after the children go to bed, Roger, you know what I'm getting ready to say to you. What I'm going to say to your people, when was the last time you had a first time? When was the last time you had a first time? Because when you meet people that keep you in your past, because they've never had a present and they don't see their future.
Well, I think the Board of Education now, we were trying to tell them, get teched up. There's going to come a time where the smart board has to be activated and turned on. You don't know what you're talking about. Literally every curriculum that they talked about, don't use social media. All the Board of Education is literally using social media to the point where Apple was like, let me help y'all out. Y'all want some laptops? I'm gonna send y'all some laptops.
Right. Right. You're right. Can I continue this? I want to thank you. And I always say that I have said this to you privately, and I will say this unabashedly to you publicly. I thank you, Roger, for keeping me in the game. I thank you for keeping me hot. I thank you for helping me to stay relevant. And the reason why I say that is that there's a person that I have to mention, Dr. Gretchen Hazel, which was a teacher of innovation at Sousa Middle School, which is also in the so-called ghetto right across the street from the Eden Wall Project and the Baychester Projects, which used to go to war with each other at least once a week. She had the fortitude to say that this is the direction that education is going. It's going to be project-based, it's going to be remote, and it's going to be innovative, and it's going to be self-guided. She said this 15 to 20 years ago, and they laughed at her. Look where we are now. So I always thank Dr. Jamal Bowman, Zakadali Rohaman, and of course yourself for keeping me relevant. Because it's so easy to fall into your past to the point where you start romanticizing your past.
Yeah, that's true.
Instead of preparing your present to move into your future, because the one thing people fall prey of, and it had nothing to do with your status or your title or your ethnic background, is that if there's nothing going on in your present, you stay in the past. So we want you to understand that your past should be a place of reflection and not a place of residence.
That's good stuff.
Yes, you can reflect, but don't live there. But we got some people. We have people that built triplexes, not duplexes, triplexes in their past.
Yeah, that's right.
Three floors, and instead of opening themselves up for newness, because until you breathe your last breath, there is an old traditional song in churches that say, morning by morning, new mercies I see, great is thy faithfulness, which really translate to whatever your belief system is that every day you wake up to new breath, every day you wake up to a new idea. And it only takes one word, one phrase, or one idea to not only change your life, but change the life of others.
That's right. That is facts. Talk about Mr. Allen, and I remember you couldn't just roll up in CASA talking about, I'm a speaker because I got that, and I want to educate the kids. Your kids in CASA were so ready, it almost freaked out the speaker. CASA kids are so well-versed that you literally had to like, okay, what am I going to show them that's really going to blow their mind? I remember a time where we went to Spotify, and I had one of the guys was like, oh, you don't remember me. He's in high school now. And he was like, oh, you don't remember me, Mr. M. I went to your Google trip, and now I'm a chaperone on a Spotify trip. Oh, one more thing. He's going to MIT. And I was like, yo.
Eric Cora is one of the students we're talking about. But please, please, if you're going to tell the story, 4-year scholarship
paid for.
MIT. Paid for. Mm-hmm. I'm going to flip it back to you, and then if you do the alley, I'll do the oop. I want you to talk about Jonathan. You talk about Jonathan coming, and I'll finish with another. So I'll finish with Eric Quora. You start off.
So Jonathan, I was at a school, Mr. Allen, the Academy for Scholarship and Entrepreneurship, man. So I went into one of the classes, and I think I used a Star Wars reference. And Jonathan was, I think he was a sophomore at the time. And Jonathan Cummings, big shout out to Big Jonathan Cummings. And Jonathan was like, yo, Mr. M, you're going to be my Jedi Master. I was like, what you talking about? So I was like, all right, cool. So I took Jonathan on every trip, every outdoor event. And I took Jonathan. So one trip we went to was the UN. Why did I bring Jonathan to the UN? Jonathan went to the UN. And literally, as you know, I think I had left the school, but Jonathan graduated, went to Ithaca, and now Jonathan literally is either he's on the youth leadership at the UN,
global
youth leadership at the UN. He's talking to presidents. He got hired at some venture capital company now, and it was Jonathan that literally helped me get. He was like, Mr. M, you've been bringing in so many people. I want to bring in something. He brought the Alliance for Climate Education, and you know, set up the whole auditorium. And this organization came into school and did like a digital presentation how climate change can really affect our climate and natural disasters and all that stuff. On top of that, to close the graduation, he was one of the valedictorians closing it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan so Cummings. Cool. Talking about
Jonathan Cummings.
I want to be. I'm a Mr. Maloney. Now I'm the Jedi Master. I said, okay, all right.
As long as he remembers that, you're still part of the Imperial Council.
Oh my God.
Let's be clear about that. But there's something else about that I wanted you to make mention of. And every time I mention this to you, you laugh because you understand the significance. What are the trips you went to? That one thing I love about you, son, is that you're very humble. That's why you're going to be blessed for the rest of your life. Remember when we went to NBC Universal? For the guided tour. Remember when we went, but remember when we had lunch at NBC Universal. And then you were asked to send a group of 10 students to NBC Universal for the tour. And then the backstage tour. But I want you to remember this, and I want to share this with the thousands of people that are listening to this. What made it so significant is that we need to get past time constraints. Get past time constraints, because the only constraint you have is your imagination. Why am I saying that? Because there was a certain time that Roger was supposed to bring the children back to go into a college exploratory class they were having, when Roger said to the students, you can go back, but if you're here and you get to talk to the people and they meant to you, this is what the class will bring you to. So why go to a class about it when you're right in it right now?
That's right. A group of them.
Jonathan was one of the kids that stayed.
He stayed. He said, yo, Mr. M, I'm staying for the experience. And
right.
And he said he stayed for the tour. Only four kids stayed for the experience, fully paid by one of the executives.
Mm-hmm.
With her own Nothing. Cash.
With her own cash. Not only her own cash, her own American Express black card. Black card. And she said to both of us, is it okay if I help you? I'm a white woman. and I want to help. Is that okay with you? I'm a white woman that made money help running and being a major VP at a gospel label. But can I help? Because I believe in what you're saying, and I believe in your dream. And the reason why I'm sharing that, one, is because it's true. And the next reason why I'm saying that, it happened to Roger, it happened to me. I'm speaking to somebody that it can happen to next. So if I don't do anything but inspire you, my son said that I'm a motivational speaker. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm an inspirational speaker, because motivation and enthusiasm is the word from God breathed from within you. So that has to come from you. I can motivate you for a McDonald's coupon for a limited time only. But if you get inspired like Jonathan and the countless other children, now Roger won't talk about, we work with kids. They may not be part of the UN, but they're also the children that thought twice about killing you. If they went in that path, those would be the kids that you had to look out to. But I'm glad that there are substance abuse prevention and intervention specialists like Roger once was, that put a word in due season into them to prevent them from looking at that. Why? Because they believe that Roger did not take them for granted. He did not dog them. He did not chastise them, because I need to see where you are before I can bring you to where I would like you to be. And where I would like you to be has nothing to do with me, but it's based on your capacity and your gifting and your dream and your promise. And there's a group of individuals out here. So we're talking about the Father's Day edition. The fathers are the planters. The fathers are the providers. The fathers are the prayer warriors. And the fathers are the protectors. So either it's children that were birthed to you or children that were given to you. Roger, you was one of the first children that was given to me, and I accepted you with open arms until this moment, and I am so proud of what you're doing, and I'm saying the best is yet to come, not only for you, but everybody that you surround yourself with, because now you're about to live in the overflow. But to have an overflow, you gotta humble yourself. So the best way up is down, meaning the more you submit, the higher your commission will be.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. See, when I call Mr. Allen, I go, Obi-Wan Kenobi, I need your help. I need your help. And he comes like a hologram with a hood, talking about, yo, man, you know we gotta do a restaurant for this information. I go, okay, not a problem. Not a problem. Mr. Allen, before we close, I want you to talk about the speech you gave to the kids that graduated, that was a part of the, I think it was the last graduation class, Jamal Bowman. Dr. Jamal Bowman had the honor of being the principal before he moved on to be elected as he's going on to be senator. Dr. Jamal Bowman
Congressman of District 16. Please, you get in trouble for that.
I get in trouble. Thank you. Sorry, forgive me. Congressman Bowman,
Bronx and Westchester, November 4th. Will seal the deal, and he is working vigorously to make sure that happens, so that on January 2nd, he can be sworn in to bring change to the area that he represents, which is also the area that he lives in.
Correct. And you had opportunity to speak. You guys did a virtual graduation. Can you share a little bit about the message that you spoke about during that virtual graduation for Castle Middle School?
Okay. It's always my honor and pleasure for the last 8 to 9 years to be the MC of the program. And we wanted to leave them with something that's a little deeper than, I'm glad all of you are here, and this is a wonderful thing. And Roger has been writing notes upon notes about this. He said, you told them that. You dropped a bomb on them. So let me share, and thank you. Let me share what I said. I said that you should look at life in three phases. And the first phase of achievement is called the pleasant life. And basically in your pleasant life, that's when you savor basic pleasures. You know, little toys, little trinkets along the way that show that you've achieved in some form of fashion. The second level, once you get over yourself and get over the trinkets and the accoutrements that you believe developed you, you go into the more serious aspects of your life. So the next one is the good life. Remember, the first is the pleasant life. The second is the good life. Now, in the good life, that's when you discover your unique virtues and your strength. Remember, I've said 2 to 3 times, I'm part of something much greater than myself. Because another thing you want to tell, we could talk about a Jonathan Cummings, we could talk about an Eric Cora, because the proof is in the fruit. It's not what you did, but it's who you bring along with you.
And we can talk about the David Karps of the world. We'll share that afterwards.
So we talk about the good life in which you discover your unique virtues and your strengths. So now you got a pleasant life, you have a good life, but there comes a certain point in your life where there's the meaningful life. And that's the time in which you employ your gifts for a purpose greater than yourself. There's one thing to get the gift. There's another thing to develop the gift. But there's a third thing is to share the gift with the world.
To quote somebody, oh snap, Mr. A.
Yeah.
I know exactly who that is. Big shout out to D. Daniels.
My man. Man, another son.
That's good. That's good. Mr. Allen, share. We literally joined on the journey of being a Sabbath and bringing back resources. We decided to reach out to a friend of mine, Mr. Fred Seberg, who, you know, built Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera.
He was part of the original team for Nickelodeon, and he has a YouTube channel and created a Fairly Odd Parents.
Nick at Night, Nickelodeon.
And he's a founder of Frederator Studios. So one day we went into the town because, you know, Dr. Zach Roman was like, go. So we literally got in the middle of Lemon Falcon, went down to Manhattan to his office. And then Mr. Allen shared a story. We get to the office. He said, sure, what do you guys need? But he introduced us to somebody uniquely special. See, these are the moments that people always want to know, like, how stuff happens and all that other stuff. So he introduced us to this young man. And Mr. Allen, you can finish the story. Who this young man
is? There's a young skinny guy with a skateboard in the corner. And he has 5 of his friends, and they all look alike. And they're coders. And we said, Fred, who are these dudes? You know, they're coding. I give them space. I know them. They're working on something big. And I believe they're going to make a mark in the world. So we're looking at these guys, these 5 little skinny guys, and they're working on stuff. But what I loved about them was their spirit. They were open. What can we get you something? This is what we're working on. And we're really excited about it. And the reason why we're sharing this story to the hundreds of thousands of you that will be listening to this is for this reason. It's not where you begin, it's where you end. And the other part of the story is, it's not who created it, it's who brought it to the marketplace. That's what's important. So stay with me. So we meet this little David dude, and later on, Roger brings this guy about a year later, just about a year later, year and a half later, and he brings him to the auditorium of his high school, the Academy of Scholarship and Entrepreneurship, and the kids don't know who he is. And he goes to the auditorium and he presents himself, and then the children have an aha moment. Because instead of him saying a word, Fred Siebert comes in to speak, and he said, "I'm Fred Siebert, and I created the Fairy Odd Parents and this and that, and Nickelodeon and all the people you like, and I was part of the group that created the MTV Moon Man Award and all of that." They knew that, but I want to introduce David. This is one of my mentees. David comes up on stage, still skinny, still looking skateboardish, skateboard pants, steps up there and says, "My name is David." And the person on the graphic that you have on the screen behind me is me. That was New York Magazine.
It was Forbes magazine.
Forbes magazine as one of the young innovators, because he came up with this little site that you might have heard of before. I think it's called Tumblr. And he created that as a teenager. He created that as a teenager with these other 3 to 4 skinny looking dudes. You know, now let's talk about evolution.
He went to Bronx Science.
But wait, I'm gonna get to that part. He went to Bronx Science, but he didn't finish because they gave him such a hard time. And the one thing he said, "Mr. Allen, do you think I can get an honorary high school diploma from Bronx Science? Now, the reason why that sounds so strange is that if you keep up with CNBC or you keep up with Forbes, you would find out that this young man, around his 21st birthday, sold Tumblr to Yahoo because Yahoo wanted a greater presence and they wanted what we call in the vernacular traction, and they want his subscriber base. So they sold it to him for $2 billion with a B and not million with an M. $2 billion. So we asked him, "What was the first thing you bought?" And he said this. Remember what he said, Roger? He said, "I bought a co-op for my mother." He said, "Because my mom has been behind me from the beginning, so I bought her a co-op." So we asked all the other questions. "But did you buy a car? Did you get this?" He said, "First of all, I need you to understand that I work and I live in Manhattan. Why do I need a car? Anywhere I need to go, I'm either on a skateboard or I'm going to Uber to the place." He said, My world is not a white picket fence somewhere in the suburb. I live and I breathe the city. So the reason why I'm saying that to you is, don't laugh at the kid next to you with this flighty dream. Because it takes an impossible dream to make the impossible possible. Who would know that we would be with this child and see him evolve in 2 to 3 years to become not a millionaire, but a billionaire? So he went from having 4 guys on his team to he was averaging hiring about 100 people per month just to keep up with the growth of Tumblr. So he went from Fred Siebert's office to the New York Times office, because that's where Yahoo wanted him to be for his expansion and his growth. So that's a true story, but we're telling you that because you can be encouraging the next Facebook, the next Apple, the next Zoom, the next Ring Central, the next whatever. So one thing that we say to Roger, and I've said it over and over and over again, and we say to everybody, stop worrying about working for Apple. Take a bite out the apple and create your own fruit.
Yeah. That's good, Mr. Allen. That's good, man. That's so good. And to, in closing, I want you to share some lessons that we, you know, we talked about it, that you learned after you heard about the passing of Chadwick Boseman.
Wow. Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting point. Chadwick lived a complete life in a short life. 43 was his age when he passed. So for those of you that are into numerology, 3 represents the Trinity. 4 represents nature and creation. And when you put 4 and 3 together, it's 7. And 7 is perfection, and it means completion. In his life, 43 years old, 7, he completed his term in life. He also emulated people that had impossible dreams that they made possible. Jackie Robinson being the first player of color to be looked upon to the point where now we have a day in Major League Baseball where it's Jackie Robinson Day and everyone wears the number 42 on their uniform. A person like Thurgood Marshall that broke through the barriers when men of color were not looked upon as being scholars and clinicians of law to the point where he's become a staple. We have a person that he portrayed, James Brown. James Brown was an innovator. He was a ceiling crasher. James Brown wanted the same deal Frank Sinatra had with his publishing. James Brown went from shining shoes in the front of a radio station to owning the radio station in Augusta, GA. He portrayed people of dream. He portrayed people of promise. So when we look at Black Panther, Black Panther to me was the icing on a cake that was already baked. It was the icing on the cake. He already solidified not only his acting chops, that he got a helping hand to go to Oxford by Denzel Washington from Felicia Rashad, who worked with him. Because I say that because it's about the networking and it's about the connection. And it's about people always say, oh, it's who you know. No, it's not who you know. And it's not what you know, but it's about what you know about who you know and what they know about you. That's what makes it come to life. So when we look at Black Panther, we look at it from two sides of views. Some people may disagree with me. I believe it was a prolific movie. It made $1 billion for Marvel. And that was great. The only downside of the movie is that once again, it pitted Black people against Black people. When you really look at it, it was the same family. So when are we going to get past that? It was Black up against Black. It was his own family, a fight to the death. It was, when are we going to stop Black to Black crime? That was, I love it. I've seen the movie over and over and over again. I am a DC and Marvel fan because a lot of my students look at it. So to stay relevant, you have to look at what they look at. So my closing remark, he was a king among men. He portrayed legends that took an impossible task and made it possible in the time periods that they did. This is 2020. What do you see as being impossible that you can make possible in your life? Chadwick portrayed different characters. He spoke about it eloquently in one of the commencement exercises from Howard University, of which he's a graduate. He spoke eloquently, and he talked about being your purpose. Do what you need to do. Don't do it quickly, but do it slowly. Do it timely, but don't hesitate. And sometimes that's the nuance that we need to understand. Do it timely, but don't hesitate. And I also want to add is that I want to drop the bomb on you and let you go to sleep. Since the children are asleep, and this is after the children are in bed, I want you to think about this. What hurts worse? The fear of failure or the pain of regret? Which one can you live with? Which one can you live with the longest? Which one do you anesthetize yourself with a new relationship, with the addiction of choice, with being overweight, for charging all your charge cards, for buying things that you don't need to impress people that don't like you? So just about that. As we talk about all of that, you become your own Wakanda and you make it last forever.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, that is Kevin Allen. I get this on the daily. We could be in 3 hours. It's so much stuff. Kevin, man, I appreciate you, brother. Always, always, always.
I thank you for inviting me, sir. I thank you so much. And I think what you and Monty are doing is phenomenal. You're breaking the ceiling and you're creating the legacy for your children. And I think it's such a great thing, because who would have known that 1, 3, 5, or 10 years ago you would be doing what you're doing? But I'm going to talk about you in front of your back. I'm glad you had the fortitude and that you listened to us to keep continuing to move in that direction. And now you are going to begin to see the fruits of your labors, not only you, but everybody you surround yourself with. So for the rest of the world, look out. This is just one of many podcasts that are going to change the world. My name is Kevin Allen, and I approve this message.
We gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta go. Kev,
good night.
Thank you, bro.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Ha 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 ha.